Well, good morning to everyone. Recently, if you noticed, I was gone a couple of weeks ago for a couple of weeks. There we go.
I just did that to trick you.
Like a curveball. I like it. So if you noticed, I was gone a couple of weeks ago, and I was actually in I was in Peru and Chile and spreading the word, or studying and spreading the word, being with Christians down there. And so when I returned, the elders asked me to maybe report on that a little bit and talk about some of the things that went on down there. And I asked them, and they agreed that it was okay if I did a more general look at some foreign work, some brethren that are in various places. And I wanted to focus a little bit more on some groups that this congregation is a little more intimate with as far as help and as far as support is concerned. And so we're going to talk about several places other than just Peru and Chile. And I wanted to mention, too, before I really got started, that this is generally a time right now where we study God's word and we learn. But we're also commanded to edify one another and encourage one another. And so that's what most of this session is going to be about this morning. It's not going to be as much about Bible study as it is about seeing what some other Christians are doing and hopefully being edified by that. Every time I'm abroad and I begin a lesson, especially on Sunday, I always tell them that, at this same time or this same day back home, my family is doing the exact same thing that we're doing. They're worshiping God in the exact same way. And we're all family in that regard. And that's very edifying to brethren abroad. They've told me that this is edifying. I've understood that this is very edifying for them. And so I'll say to you, right now, there are Christians all over this world on this day that are worshiping God the exact same way we are. And they're our family. And they're just trying to serve God the best they can. And some of the most remote parts of the world that you can imagine, there are Christians right now worshiping God. And I'll tell you the extent, a little bit of the extent to which that's true. And that is, when I was in Peru, one of the preachers there invited me to come back and take a trip with him on a canoe down the Amazon to tribes that are Christians, that have Christians there, and teach those and preach those. So Lord willing, one of these days I'll get back down there and take that trip with him, but pretty remote. If you're, got to take a boat on the Amazon to get to you, that's pretty remote. So here's the areas that we're going to talk about this morning somewhat briefly. As I mentioned, I just got back from Peru and Chile. We're gonna talk about those more toward the end a little bit. We're going to focus a good bit on the Philippines and Nicaragua, because those are the works that I would say you're the most involved with here. We're going to mention Mexico a little bit for some other reasons, but I'll mention in Nicaragua, this congregation supports Harvin Fernandez, and he's in Managua. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. The Philippines, as you all know, you've all been very helpful with the Balik buy-in boxes that Lindsay sends out usually once, maybe twice a year. And we'll talk about the Philippines. And then also the elders have helped some brethren in the Philippines on a one-time basis, help them out. So we'll talk about some of that as well. So the Philippines... This is the Philippines. A lot of people don't even realize where they are, but this is all this colored is. So this is a travel advisory. So the orange, red, and yellow, all the Philippines. But this is the area that we focused on really right here. This is kind of just a blow up of that area. But when we were there, it was everything really in this area, up to Luzon, which is up in the north more, and all the way down to Matanog is where we were focusing when we were there. I want to put up these slides right here just to help you understand a little bit about the population of the Philippines and how things are down there. Let me just say, so right here you see the U.S. has 327 million people in it. Philippines only has 106 million people, but look at the size of it. So the U.S. is 3.8 million square miles. The Philippines, 120,000 square miles. So what that means is the U.S. has three times more people, but they have almost 32 times more area in it. So population density is where I'm going with this. And here's just the slide of the cities. Manila versus Houston here, you can see Manila is 239 square miles versus Houston, which is 669 square miles. And that's obviously a lot more, three times the mileage, but I mean, three times the size. But if you look, it's nearly six times less populations. Manila is six times more populated than Houston. So there's a lot of people there in a very, very small space. But here's the takeaway from that. These people are willing to listen to the Word of God preached. They're eager to hear people come and talk to them. Just random people on the streets will talk to you about the Word of God. And so they're very receptive. They're very willing to talk to you. And I think this is probably a fact. I don't know that it is, but from anywhere I've ever been, this is by far the most fertile ground in the world for God's Word to be preached. So you might hear of a lot of people going to the Philippines. You might hear a lot of people talking about that work. And I think this is a lot of the reason that that's the case, because these people are very receptive, and there's a lot of them there in a very small space. Okay, so in the Philippines, there's challenges, right? So most people, when they think about something like foreign work, they think about the physical challenges, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the first thing that I noticed is everything in the Philippines is built for Filipinos. And Filipinos are very small people. And I'm pretty sure I'm the first 6'4 person to ever step foot in the Philippines, because nothing fit me in the Philippines. There was, and you can obviously see from this picture, I'm the tall guy. But the bus that you see right back here, the van that you see, you say, well, that looks like our van. It does look like our van. It's exactly like our vans. But our vans have three rows of seats, and this bus has five rows of seats in it, because everything's built for Filipinos. And I went and bought and I'll show you in a picture later, a customary like Sunday dress shirt that's called a barong. And I think I got a 2XL. And I got it on, I don't know how, but then Lindsay had to like peel it off of me when, you know, at night when we were done. So everything is built for Filipinos. So that was a challenge for me, maybe not for everybody. I will tell you, the first Sunday we were there, we got there on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning at like 2. And the first Sunday that I was there, that Sunday night, I preached on David and Goliath. And they started calling me Goliath. And I told them, I said, I don't think you understand the point of the lesson. Or I hope you don't understand the point of the lesson, because Goliath's the bad guy. And they just thought it was hilarious that I was so tall. So, and then also, Lindsay had a little bit of a hard time. She's much more Filipino-sized than I am. But I was having a study with the men in one time, and she went to town with the ladies. And she came back, and she said, this is called a tricycle, so it's got a motorcycle and a sidecar is what this is. And she said, I got to ride in a trike. You ought to try it. I said, I don't think so. That's not going to work for me. So I didn't get to try that, but we did enjoy the comedy of me being way too tall for that. for that area. So these are the picture in the middle here are the seven Filipino preachers that we traveled around with as we were there in the Philippines. The man in the middle here is Hert Jan van Zanten from the Netherlands. He met us in the airport, and we went from there. We supported when I was at SciFair, and I believe they still do support Hert Jan and his work in Western Europe. And then you see me standing in the gutter there, so I don't look so ridiculously tall. But these are the seven men that we travel with, and we're still in touch with most of them to this day. Really, really good men that are trying to serve the Lord as the Lord would have us. I wanted to mention one thing that I forgot on this picture right here. This dog right here. You're going to see animals in a lot of pictures, and somebody was asking me one time. They were like, you know, tell me about these places that you go and you preach and how many countries have you been to and things like this. And I said, you're asking the wrong question. The most interesting question is how many animals have you had walk down the aisle while you're preaching? And I think I've had every farm animal that there is walk down the aisle while I'm preaching. And actually, in this building right here behind us, a pig came in while I was preaching. But you'll see animals in a lot of pictures. I tried to keep them out, but you'll see a lot of them. But we traveled with these men. These are a few of the congregations that we were with as we were there. You can see a lot of stuff is done outside there because it's very hot. And obviously here is Lindsay, who is teaching some of the young people there, which was really just a great thing to happen for them. And we'll talk about that in just a second. This is a volcano, and that smoke that you see coming is an active volcano, so that's smoke from the volcano right there. But Lindsay, let's get back to Lindsay. Lindsay was the rock star of the trip. Everybody was really excited about Lindsay. Here she is with some of her work that she did. They told us when we were there that this is the first woman in that area that had come with her husband or come to teach in about 8 years. So what that meant is that largely the women and the children were not did not experience that kind of teaching as much as the men did. But you can see here, she's, do we know what these kids are doing right here, learning about? This is, they're marching around in a circle with trumpets. What could that be? So this is Jericho, and this is, they're walking around Jericho, and it's a very accurate description of what's happening. Here she is with the ladies' class. This is a kids' class after she taught it, and I will note here on this, if you will, all you kids with your really cool toys and your cell phones and things like that, you see this tire right here that he's holding. There's another one down here, and there's a couple over here. These kids, like they did, I don't know, in the 50s or something here, they were walking with sticks and hitting their tire and rolling it, and that was their toy. And so that's what they enjoyed doing, pretty simple life there. And also I will mention this picture right here will come up later. So just remember when I say, you remember that picture of the kids that were in the porch, the outside gazebo type thing? This is the picture that I'm talking about. So that'll come up later as we're talking this morning. A lot of people ask me, especially with the Philippines, but also in some other third world type countries that I've been to, about the living conditions. Won't focus on that much, but I will show you a few of them, because while we might, you know, default ourselves into thinking these are very poor people, and they are, but they're very rich in a lot of ways as well that maybe we don't think about as much because of how we view wealth as a default as an American. But here are the general kind of living conditions. This is a pretty standard house in the rural areas that we were a part of. Some of the areas in more metro Manila are not as rural as this, but this is pretty typical. The roof might change to a metal roof or a tarp or something like that, but this is about the normal size, and this would be anywhere from you know, a family of four to a family of eight or 10 or something like that. And all the rooms are divided by curtains. That's their walls inside. This is actually the one of the places that Lindsay and I stayed. This is her bag and that's my bag. So we stayed with Christians in houses like this the entire time we were there. And this is a typical kitchen right here outside the house, so it's not hot and it's not dangerous as far as being in the home is concerned. And so that's generally what they the way that they live. Everybody asks about the bathrooms and the showers and stuff, and you can ask me about that later, but it's pretty much in line with this. So kind of to sum up the trip there, we were there around 2 weeks, and these numbers are the best I could glean from my notes after we came back, but visited about 16 congregations, a bunch of sermons were preached, all translated. I put that up there because if you ever decide to do some foreign work, this is the hardest part, is the translation. So you're trying to have a train of thought as you're preaching a sermon, but you have to do it in segments. So you have to say five or six words, and then somebody translates that. You got to come back to your train of thought. And so it's very difficult, for me at least, but maybe not for everybody, but for me, it's very difficult to do. We had 9 question and answer sessions, which is a very common practice for them in the Philippines, to just basically fire questions at you, and they can be on anything. So you got to kind of be on your toes there. Did a radio program, 1 debate. I'd probably call it a discussion. It wasn't anything very formal, but that's what they called it, was a debate. Countless Bible studies with the preachers. That was a large focus of what we tried to accomplish, was working with the preachers so that the work would continue to thrive even after we left. Lindsay, while in her time there, 5 ladies' classes, 5 children's classes, and again, these are the first 5 that somebody has done as far as coming there in quite some time. So that was very, I believe, beneficial. And then while this is probably not a true indicator of the work that was done and the good that happened, we did have 7 that were baptized while we were there and a couple that were baptized after we left. So that's kind of the Philippines. So then I want to talk just generally about some foreign work here. And so I'll introduce you to some of these people here. On the Mexico side, this is Josh Reeves, and this is Elver Espinosa. Elver preaches in Mexico, in South Mexico. And anytime I travel in Central America, South America, it's going to be the combination of one of these 3. So Elver is going to be there. Josh is going to all 3 of us are going to be there. You might recognize some of these other people. Here's Lindsay. She was in Mexico with us then. This is Abby, who is Josh's daughter. And this is Lauren Chapeau. And this is Lauren Delk, you might recognize there. Here, Lauren is teaching a kids' class. And so my point in showing this is that this is one of these instances where we took some college kids with us. Same in Nicaragua here. This is Andrew Thetford. You might know Curtis Thetford, who is an elder at Sci-Fair. This is his son. And again, here is Lauren Chapeau. This is in Nicaragua. Here, Andrew is preaching at a meeting we had in Nicaragua. And actually, it's pretty funny. I'll show it to you. But while this was going on, right after this picture was taken, I have a video of a duck and a chicken coming forward. And it's actually really funny because they're paying attention to the lesson somehow. But I show this to say I would invite anyone who thinks they might be interested in doing this kind of thing to join us, because it's a very beneficial learning experience for anybody, but for young people especially, I believe. But it's hard, you know. It's hard living, as you might imagine. But it's really more hard work, and I'm not saying that because it's hard to go around and do it. You learn about yourself, and it's hard to kind of come to terms a little bit with what you learn about yourself and how you grow in this process. And there are 3 things I want to mention here that if you decide to do this, you better be prepared for. One is, You better be prepared for realizing that your Bible knowledge is way lacking. So this will humble you, because they will ask you questions. They will bring up things that are just like, wow, I don't know how to answer that. And you got to work to get that answered, you know, and try to help them with this problem. They have problems just like everybody does. And so they ask you these things, and you become, as family would, that person that they look to, and you look to them. And what you find out is, wow, I need to study some things more. So you're going to find out that your Bible knowledge is probably lacking. You're going to find out that you got to get out of your comfort zone, which is a really good thing. And I know it doesn't feel good a lot of times, but it's a really good thing to get out of your comfort zone. And you could probably ask Lauren. I can think of at least two times in Mexico here that she was very much out of her comfort zone. But it's a good thing to get out of your comfort zone. But then probably the third thing, and maybe the most important thing, is the perspective that you'll gain. The perspective about life and about, you know, about everything's not just like it is here in Texas or here in Benchley or here in College Station or Bryan. There's you know, in most of these places, generally speaking, there's less materialism, there's less worldliness. And I think to our discredit as Americans, there is more reliance on God in these places, because they don't have anything else to rely on a lot of times. And so there's a lot more reliance on God. And actually, I have an article, and if somebody will remind me, I'll put this on Lindsay to remind me. I'll send this article out to everybody, but it's about this trip, actually. And so when we take the students with us, I think they were both sophomores at Florida College at this time. But when we take them with us, we always try to ask them questions. And so we'll ask them questions when we first get there. What do you expect? What do you think is going to be the hardest? What do you think is going to be the most? And it's always the physical things, right? I don't know about this food. I don't know about whatever. And then we ask them generally the same questions on the way back, and it changes drastically. Nobody's worried about the physical by the end of these things. They're all focusing on, wow, these people, we really need to pray for these people. We really need to be concerned about this. And so this process of changing, this perspective that's gained as this goes on, is just really, really interesting. And actually, the article is about that happening on this Nicaragua trip. And then after they told us the new things, we explained to them some other instances that they weren't really aware of that were going on while we were there. And then their perspective changed even again, because they understood now even some more depth of that. So if you decide to go on one of these, I will tell you, you're going to come back a little different than you left, maybe a lot different than when you left. But I think it will be better. And I will tell you, I highly recommend that everybody, even if you don't go down there to preach or work or go somewhere to a third world country or a developing country to work or to preach or anything, find some Christians, go and stay with them for a week, and your life will be changed by that, significantly, I believe. Okay, so Mexico, we'll talk about this a little bit. Here's Lauren out of her comfort zone a little bit right here, doing a ladies' class. But she did a great job. As most of you guys know here, she's a little bit of a spitfire, so she just took on this real quickly and just didn't even hesitate. This building right here, this is in the southern part of Mexico. The indigenous people are called Saltals. They're Saltal people, and this building that they have to worship is on a hill. And this is the path to the building. So you ride horses or you walk if you want to go to this building. It's about a half mile. And here's Lauren leaving that meeting on a horseback, and she enjoyed that. This is a young people's class. We always try to have at least one, if we can, a young people's class, because they usually enjoy that. And it might just be hearing Americans talk. I don't know, but they enjoy it, and I think they gain a lot out of it. So that's in Mexico, one of the young people's class that we had while we were there. All right, in Nicaragua, this is Nicaragua's a again. This is where Harvin works in Managua in the city. We spend most of our time in the rural area when we're in Nicaragua, and that's because Nicaragua, and I put this picture up here, I don't know if you can see it on the slide, but this is Josh preaching at a place, and it's beautiful. The place is beautiful, but very, very corrupt as far as the government is concerned, and so we've run into problems in Managua before, so we coming and going from the airport and things like that. So we try to stay out of the city as much as possible and worship with Christians that are in more of the rural area. This picture I put up here because this is what they call a jungle church, a jungle congregation. So literally the path to get here is about 40 miles on dirt roads, and it comes through this valley right here and up. So you can kind of see our path to get there. So we literally, it's some sketchy area, drove through the jungle to get here to worship with those brethren. Peru and Chile, here are some pictures of Peru and Chile. This is a young people's class. Peru is less developed. Chile is a fairly developed country, not too many struggles there as far as development is concerned. I put this picture on here. This is another volcano in Chile, because I sent this picture to Lindsay while we were down there, and she said, "Why do they have the Texas flag flying right there?" I said, "I thought it was a Texas flag too when I first looked at it. That's kind of why I sent the picture. But this is the Chilean flag right here." So we're close to Chile, even with our flag. Great people in both of those places. A lot of good work, I believe, happened while we were down there. I want to mention two things as far as problems that occur. And when I say this, I think I'm mainly talking about Central South America. Some challenges that you run into, maybe that you wouldn't think about. The first challenge is that there is a mentality among men especially, and it's kind of this machismo type mentality is what they call it there, and it's, you know, men are too good or they're not going to sing, and they're not going to come to services, and they're not going to, you know, they're busy working, they're busy doing that kind of thing. So you go to a lot of places and it's just women, or it's a lot of women, a lot more women than men, and that's a mentality that's very hard to overcome, because it's a long time mentality. And maybe one of the other big challenges that we've run into and had a lot of Bible studies about in Central and South America is the idea of marriage and what constitutes a marriage. And so government is obviously different there. And so there's a lot of challenges with the way people think of what does it mean to be married? Is it the government? Is it when you get the marriage certificate? Is it when the government signs off on it? Or is it something else? Or is it nothing? Is it just that when we decide that we're married? And so all those things are just a couple of problems that are ongoing that we kind of have to continually work on down there. But as you can imagine, those can be very challenging when you're dealing with very personal, intimate things like marriage. And if you say, "Hey, this marriage is not right," that's a hard conversation. Talk about out of your comfort zone. You're out of your comfort zone there. A lot of people ask me when I do this kind of thing afterwards, they say, you know, what can I do? How can I get involved? How can I be part of what's going on down there? And so here's just a couple of things that I will mention to you. First of all, I will tell you, you're already involved, just like I mentioned before. There are preachers who are supported in some of these areas by this congregation. That's you being involved. There are multiple things that happen. As I mentioned, the elders have, I think they got up and talked about the support that they sent recently to a brother in the Philippines. All this is you being involved. So I commend you for that, first of all, before we look further to areas that you can be involved. You are involved right now. Secondly, if you want to go sometime, that's always an opportunity. We do usually two trips a year, and we do welcome most of the time, if the situation is right for that, we welcome people going with us. Any people, but young people especially, I think, gain a lot from this. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to me about that, and we can talk about maybe some opportunities there. But remember the challenges that we talked about before, because it's not easy. I got just a minute, so I'll tell a quick story. When we were in the Philippines, the second night we were there, Lindsay, we were laying in the bed, if you can call it a bed. We were laying there trying to go to sleep, and she said, I don't think I can do this. I said, oh, we'll be fine. It's no worries. The whole time I was thinking, I can't do this. But we did. And then, you know, about 3 days later, it was like, this is no problem. This is easy. This is actually better because you don't have so much to worry about like you do here. But it is hard, and that's kind of something you have to get past there. And the work is hard, obviously, as well. The third thing that I'll mention is the ballot buy-in boxes. You've been so helpful in the past with that. And the brethren there absolutely love that. I think in the near future, Lindsay will be sending another group of boxes. We send 9 boxes, which is a lot more than it sounds like, because the boxes are enormous. But they absolutely love it. In the Philippines is where those go. And I will tell you, we send them to those 7, not all 7 of those preachers, but 5 of the 7 preachers they go to, and then 4 other preachers that they get sent to. And they share the stuff with the congregations that they are a part of. But they all gather together when the boxes show up, and they open them together, and they smell it as the box opens up. And generally, not just for our brethren, but for everybody, the Filipinos say that that's the smell of love, because somebody has sent them something with love. And so that's what they say about those boxes when they get those boxes. There's always needs from a financial standpoint for help. There are various levels of importance of this need that you hear from them. So you have to be careful with that a little bit. And this is from everywhere, not just the Philippines, but from everywhere. There's different levels of importance. So if you are interested in helping somebody or hear from somebody, I have some suggestions as far as how to handle some of that that might be helpful for you if you'd like to talk to me about that. And then finally, there are ongoing Bible studies via Zoom. There's a few Spanish, exclusively Spanish Bible studies. If you speak Spanish, I can put you in touch with as far as those are concerned. But then every Thursday night, we have a Filipino Bible study. And every Monday at noon, I believe it is, we have a study with a congregation that I did a meeting for in Tunbridge Wells, England, which is just south of London. And both of those meetings, we started out of really necessity when COVID hit. And let me just tell you, as a sidebar, you think we had problems when COVID hit. We had no problems when COVID hit relative to a lot of these other people who had serious problems, serious things they had to overcome as far as meeting, as far as some of the practices that they did. And all of those, you know, we kind of worked through these studies. But both of those studies, I believe, have been going on around 4 years now. And but that's how they kind of began. The Filipino study I'm still a part of, and that's on Thursday nights. The study for the Brits that we did on Monday, I had to back off of that because it's Monday at noon, and so now 3 men have taken that over. Mark White, who is at Cy Fair, you probably most of you know him. A man named Sewell Hall, who is out of Atlanta, is on that as well. And Leland Ping, who's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, they kind of took that over for me and are doing that study now. But there are opportunities to study and kind of interact with some of the brethren abroad. So take advantage of that when you can. If you would turn to Luke 5 with me. In Luke, the 5th chapter, we see We're gonna talk about this story of the men who were called to serve Jesus, Simon Peter specifically. We're gonna talk about it in just a second, but I want to go back to the story of the children that were in the porch. Okay, so one day in the Philippines, we went. And we kind of didn't know what was going on most of the time. We just kind of got in the van and went. Wherever they took us, we went. And we went all the time. But anyway, we go down to the coast, and we're sitting around waiting at the coast, and we really don't know what's happening much, and we're asking what's going on. And they're like, well, we're going to go out to this island, and we're going to preach to some people out in this island. Okay. So a little while later, we walk out to the coast. No piers, no docks. Walk out to the coast, and take our shoes off and wade into the water about knee deep, and then we climb up this plank onto what was a floating vessel. I'm not going to call it a boat because I think that's way too liberal to call it a boat. It was not a boat, but we get on this vessel and off we go, and we're darting around to these islands, and we finally end up at this island, and we get out, and you know, I think we're gonna talk to people. Well, the preachers say, look, you got to hurt Jan and I. He said, you guys sit here and think about what you're going to preach. We're going to go find some people to preach to. And we were like, what? They were like, yeah, needs to be first principles. Probably the first time most of these people have ever heard the gospel preach. We're like, okay, pressure's on, right? So anyway, 30 minutes later, they have this school, which was next door to this gazebo, filled with people. There's probably 30, I don't know, maybe 40 people in this open air schoolhouse, and there were all these kids out in the gazebo. And Lindsay's teaching these kids, and Hurt Jan and I are in teaching these others. And so what we did was just as simple as we possibly could. I started with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And I went through a very high-level overview of the Old Testament. It's kind of that Jesus is coming sermon. And then Hurt Jan got up, and he took it from there, and he basically did that Jesus is here sermon. And then I got back up at the end, and I did, you know, kind of tied it together, the Jesus is coming again, the reason for all of this, the point that it makes in our lives, things like that. And I noticed at the very beginning when I first started, a young lady, I'm going to say it was with her mom, I'm not exactly sure, but a lady and her daughter, and the young lady, they were just very attentive, and they were paying close attention. And by the time I got up the second time, she was really involved, especially this younger child. I'm going to say she was 14 or 15, something like that. And by the time I got to the end of what I was saying, tears were just pouring down her eyes. And she was bawling, crying. And a little while later, she was baptized. Her mom with her. I believe three other people were baptized that day. And I don't say all that to say that I did anything. I say all that to talk about the power of God's word. Just the pure, unadulterated power of God's word. Without any commentary, but just talking about what God told us had that kind of effect on somebody. And look what it did to Simon Peter here in Luke 5. Simon Peter, we know the story. They're fishing. They're not catching anything. Jesus tells them to cast their nets over here. Look, we're tired. We've been fishing all night. But because you said so, Lord, we'll do that. And then the astonishment of the catch that they had. And look at Peter's reaction here in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter realized his condition in the presence of God, and he realized he wasn't worthy. He realized he needed something to become worthy. And I believe this is the exact place that I watched this young lady progress to as I was preaching that day. And I believe truly that this is the place that we all have to find ourselves before we can be children of God. We have to find that place where we are on our knees before God saying, we're not worthy, but by your grace, can we please have redemption of our sins? And she found that redemption that day. And we always have that opportunity. And so now, as we sit here today, there's always the opportunity. The Lord's invitation is always open, but I want to extend it to you today. And if you find yourself in that place before the Lord, realizing your condition and understanding that you need to change that condition, and He's the only opportunity for you to change that condition, you have the opportunity to be baptized too, if you need to do that. Maybe you've been baptized before, but you've fallen away, and you need to return to the Lord. There's that opportunity too. Repentance is a wonderful, powerful thing that we can take hold of. Maybe it's just something that's private, that has nothing to do with anybody else but you and God, and you just need to go into a room, into a quiet place, and you need to pray, and you need to make that right with God, and I hope you'll do that if you need to. But from a public standpoint, if there's any way that we can help you right now, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.